Blog Talk Radio.
I'm so sorry. The mute button was on my phone. So I'll say again, it is the 8:30 hour time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm Diane Adams, your host, a servant of God. I thank God for the opportunity where the brothers and sisters in Christ could come together to expound and fellowship on the Word of God. I thank God for the opportunity, and I thank each and every one of you for calling in week after week. I thank God for allowing me to go before His people. There's so much going on in the world today, and it was one of the reasons why I chose this particular topic. And the title, Let Go and Let God, because I believe that's the only way we're going to make it in these trying times. And at this time, I'm going to play the song. I found this song, and I thought it was appropriate for the lesson. It has some of the same points that's in the lesson that the writer have in his song. So I'm going to play this song, and then we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace with our dear sister Pam.
On my mind, searching for that peace, but the peace I could not find. So then I kneeled down to pray, praying, help me please. And He said, you don't have to cry, I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stopped worrying,
as soon as I stopped worrying,
worrying how the worrying,
when I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let Him have,
let God have His way.
That's when things
start happening. When I stop looking at back then,
when I let go,
I let go,
when I let God, let Him have.
Let God have His way.
There's so much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in your head, everything will be alright.
Soon as I stop worrying,
soon as I stop
worrying, how the worrying,
I can let go. Let go and let God. Let go, let God. Oh, let go and let God. Let go and let God. My brother, let go and let God. My sister, you can't handle it. let God. Oh, let go. And let God. Let go. And let God. Oh, let go. And let God. He's the only one with the answer. Just let God.
And that song was Let Go and Let God.
Amen.
At this time, we're going to have Sister Pam. She's going to bring us to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good night, everybody. Father God, I give you all praise, all glory and honor. Lord, I thank you tonight for life. Lord, I thank you for our Bible study. Thank you for our sister in Christ, our teacher, a prayer warrior, a woman of God, Minister Diane Adams. Thank you, Father God, for the anointing. Thank you, God, for loving us unconditionally. Oh, Lord, I thank you for looking beyond all our faults, and I thank you for supplying our every need. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting us free. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the trials and tribulations in our lives that comes to make us stronger. Lord, we thank you for caring for us more than we care for ourselves. Thank you, Father God, for your son, Jesus the Christ. And it's in Jesus' name I give thanks and amen.
Amen, my sister. And thank you for your obedience. Thank you for being an intercessor. Thank you for being a part of Words of Wisdom.
You're welcome.
Plain and simple. We thank you.
Welcome.
When I posted the lesson for tonight, I didn't have scriptures that would tie into the title because this lesson is going to have a lot of scriptures that will help to formulate the topic of letting go and let God. So I ask that you bring your Bible and we're going to, as we go through the steps of the lesson, we're going to have different scriptures. And if you don't have your Bible and you want to write them down, you can. So as I begin with this lesson, it's a lesson that God gave me for you all, but he gave it first to me, for me. You know, with all of the things that goes on in life and the trials and tribulations, and things that's happening around in us and through us and to us, you know, we have to be on God, on guard and understand who we are in Christ Jesus. For those who know me, I'm involved in a lot of things, and I feel like I communicate with a lot of people. And I've always had a desire, if I see a need, to want to help or to fix it or to be there to support it and so on and so on. But sometimes what you put out is not perceived and accepted the way that you do. And many times people, let me see the best way to say it, may reject you even in the midst of you trying to help them and you don't even know where the situation is coming from. So some of that, well, something like that happened the other day, and I was praying to God because I didn't understand. And it spoke to me in a still voice. And the message was, just let it go. And then God began to teach me. And I put the thoughts down in this lesson tonight, and I pray that it could help someone. And that's how I chose this for tonight. So I want you to know that letting go and let God is a commonly used phrase we often hear. You know, people say, girl, ain't nothing you can do with that. Let go and let God, you know. You got to let go, and, you know, it's common. We say it. We throw it around. But perhaps it's a go-to phrase we use to uplift ourselves when we get cornered, overwhelmed, and don't know the next step to take. We stand and say, let go and let God. To understand this phrase doesn't mean, and I'm going to say that again because that's what I meant to say, to understand what this phrase doesn't mean is important to first get an understanding of what it does mean. You see, let go means to relinquish your grip of something, to release control. You know, plenty of us, may not realize it, but they are control issues. And some people are really control freaks. So they come up to a lot of things that they have to deal with, because when you want to be in control of everything, then you have to give most of the situation to stay in control. But let go means to let God take over the grip and take full control, not partial control, my sisters and brothers, but all of it. You see, in other words, it's letting God's will be done and not ours, trading in our desires for his. Why is it that this can be such an encouraging phrase? You know, plenty of times, like last week, God really touched us in the area of prayer, and many times people say that, you know, they might be in a situation or something, and you hear it all and you say, well, all you can do is pray for them. And I say that if you do feel that way, then you should pray. Pray for them. And then you let go and let God. Because everything is not for you to fix. Everything broke, you're not to fix. Every door that need to be closed, you may not be the one to close it. All of the crooked roads that need to be made straight, you might not be the contractor to get the job. Yet, even though it is a phrase that is catchy and easy and it sounds good, and many times it's so difficult to do. You might say, well, Diane, why is it hard? Well, the reason it's hard for most of us to let go of the grip is due to trust. You know, people don't realize it. And many times people believe that if they don't do it, then it can't be done. Like they're the only one that can do this. And sometimes you may not feel you're the only one, but you may be the only one willing to take the task, you know, and trust. You don't want to put it in somebody else's hands. You know, so it's hard because of a trust issue or a lack of trust. You see, our lack of trust is why it's so hard for us to fully let go and let God do more than what we can imagine. The struggles we have, because we put so much trust in ourselves, our thoughts and our opinions, we think we got the answer. And many times you do. But there's some things that you have the answer to. You may have the answer, but with all things being equal, your answer just don't produce what you're looking for. So we put so much trust in ourselves, our thoughts, and our opinion rather than putting our trust in God and his ways. And I'm going to give you one of the greatest examples of letting go and let God, because let go and let God is not a Bible scripture, but there's so much that speaks it without it being in a printed text. So we look at Jesus. You see, he prayed his desire. Remember, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus prayed to God to change what he was about to go through. But despite his desire, he still chose to let go and let God as he prayed a fervent prayer saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's our scripture, first scripture for the night. It's coming from Luke 22 and verse 42. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus was in so much agony, he prayed more earnestly that the sweat became like drops of blood falling down on the ground. And for those who maybe never read this scripture and they may quote when they say Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was sweating blood, the scripture did not say he sweat blood. They said that his sweat became great drops of blood, became like a great drop of blood falling to the ground. You see, his desire was for it to all be removed. He asked his father, if there's another way that this could be done, take this from me and let it be done that way. But nevertheless, he cried out to God, letting his own personal desire and will go. And he trusted and let God's will be done. See, that's the best example of letting go and let God. We want things in our lives, and we go to God, and we ask him to remove it. But we have to say like Jesus, even when we pray, God, not our will, but your will be done. And that's an example of letting go and let God. Pray to God. Tell him what you want, and let him work it out. So one of the first things about letting go and letting God, what it doesn't mean that God won't be silent. You know, we go to bring God something at 3 o'clock and we want it answered by 4 o'clock as if God's working on your microwave system. God's timing is not our time. You see, just because we surrender everything unto God's hand, we must remember that he is working, even if we don't see it. Even if we feel he is silent, he hears us. You see, the majority of what God does is beyond our understanding anyway. This is why we are to rest in him and trust he is working no matter how long we experience the silence. And I got another scripture for you from Genesis 37 and 50. You know, it tells the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob. Joseph was sold into slavery and prison for 13 years by his own brothers. For 13 years, things continued to not change. It was a period of waiting, and I'm sure that felt like silence. But you know, even in the midst of him waiting, being in prison and everything, Joseph continued to trust God despite the waiting. One thing I want you to know, we too hold on to promises today and trust God even if we don't hear from him immediately. Because as he promised to work all things out together for our good, that's our next scripture from Romans 8:28. We have to wait. God has promised to work all things out together for your good. You see, and eventually Joseph was reunited with his brothers. And it's amazing. See, when we let go and let God, God can see way more than we could see or even could imagine. And God knows the best alternative to what need to be done on your behalf. You see, all that the devil had set up for the bad in Joseph's case, God turned it around for the good, because Joseph even told his brothers when he met him, he told them, don't be afraid, because, you know, me coming here was beyond you guys. God only used you as an instrument. So, you know, the bad that they had did, Joseph could have became bitter. But you see, through it all, God let Joseph understand that that was his destiny, that was his journey. And he wasn't bitter, and he told his brothers, yes, y'all did sell me, but it was orchestrated by God. And that's how God worked in our lives many times, because we say if we let go and trust God, even without all of the information, many times by and by we understand what's really going on. But you got to wait. And trusting him is saying, this is it. If you trust him and you let go and let God, you be willing to take the outcome no matter how God works it out. Come on, y'all. That's the point. So you never lose choosing God, because his way is the best way, because he has more information to develop the right outcome for you. And point two, letting go and let in God doesn't mean your circumstances will change. I guess I could use this right now for this. You know, there's a lot of people that's sick, and a lot of prayers go up. And sometimes people get confused because they figure they're so close to God and God loves them so much, and it could be true. And they can't understand why healing didn't take place. All your circumstances may not change, y'all. Because all of God's healing is not going to happen on this side of the earth. So we have to let go and let God. God, thank you for my mother. Thank you for the years you gave me. Thank you for the time that I had. And God, there's nothing that I can do with this situation, nothing the doctors say they could do. But I'm going to let go right now, God. Let go of my grip trying to keep us here. I'm going to let go of my grip and let you have your way, dear God, because I know you're going to work it out together for our good. And then God is going to start strengthening you for the situation. You see, if you want to still be so stubborn and you still want to have your way and you can't let God. See, some of your let, when you let go and let God, that's part of your healing taking place for you. You see, you got to be so arrogant and God, I, you know, why you let my so-and-so do so-and-so. You let God, because everything is not going to happen in, first of all, in your time. And everything that God has for us will not be accomplished on this side of the earth. And some circumstances that you may be going through, you know, we have learned that God says he allow us to go through trials and tribulations for our maturity. Come on, y'all. Sometimes it's to get your attention. And if we look at the life of Job, sometime is only a test. And we have to remember that. And we can trust God because Jeremiah 29:11, that's our another scripture, says, "For I know the plans and I thought for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Do you believe that scripture? That's what's enabling us, or will enable us to let go and let God. Because before the foundation of the world, God said in Psalms 139, when you was in your mother's womb, he placed his hand in there and he constructed your innermost part. And he had an expected end with an intended purpose for all of our lives. And he's equipped us. He has equipped us and equipping us and arranging and rearranging the matters in our lives so that we could reach that goal, because that's where the success at. You got to remember that God created us. When someone creates something, it says, how is your function? Well, you know, if you take the potter, God say he's the potter. If you look at the potter, and the potter is molding the clay into the intended purpose for you, he designed it to be. When Ford made the car, he made the, invented, because man could only invent because God is the creator. Everything that God is the only creator that created everything. Man can only invent by taking some of the things that God has created, put them together and make an invention. So when Ford invented the first automobile, he had a design purpose in mind for what that car would do, what its purpose would be, how it would operate, what it needed to perform at the best performance rate. Come on, y'all. So just looking at God as our creator should be able to, for us to let go and let God. And when I look and I thought about Paul, and I went to 2 Corinthians, there's another scripture, y'all, 12:7-10. It has a plan. You see, he knows things we don't know. He has a perspective from where he sits high on his throne that allows him to see it all. We could only see what's in front of us, y'all. You see, when you remember Paul, and I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 7 through 10, and it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in my side." See, Paul wasn't really thinking more of himself than he ought to, but it came a time, as humble as he was, he had to let him know who he was and what he was working with. But Paul realized that, you know, sometimes God do things, no, not sometimes, God always do things for our good. So what he said, "There was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffer me, lest I should exalt above measure." See, Paul was saying I had to be calmed down to not think more of myself than I ought to and exalt myself and not exalt God. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord twice. That's three times. I don't know what was going on with Paul, and the scripture does not say, but it was some issue that Paul had that he prayed not once, not twice, but three times unto God that it might depart from him. And he said unto me," they're talking about God. God said, "Look here, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory." That's what Paul's talking about now. "I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmity. God, use even your infirmities, your trials and tribulations to help you to become all that he know he has created you to be. I take pleasure in my formatives and reports and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. Because Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. You see what I'm saying? So he asked him, he prayed 1, 2, 3. See, God didn't take it away, whatever it was. But he told him his grace is sufficient. Now, God left that issue with whatever it was. But he kept providing and supplying all of Paul's needs according to his riches and glory. And that's what he do for us. Wow. You know, Paul got the message and he didn't ask anymore. The scripture said after that. But many times we have to keep pressing towards the mark in the midst of a storm. Come on, y'all. But one thing I have learned is that even when I'm going through, God's provisions are still there for me. God don't let you go through and take his hand off and you go in silence and hide. God is right there working on your behalf. He's still supplying all of your needs. And that's a beautiful thing, y'all. You see, God didn't remove. But he promised to work it out for his good.
Yeah.
You see, letting go and letting God, trusting in him, we can ask him to fill us more and more with his perception. You see, many of us have the perception of Satan because Satan is the one that's playing in our mind. But you see, trusting him, we can ask God to give us more biblical, more spiritual perception and perspective about him. That's why 2 Peter 3:18, another scripture, y'all, says, study. No, that's Timothy. Says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For you to grow in the grace that God has given us, we need a new, we need more perspective of God and his word. That's what builds us up, gives us strength, gives us to be able to hold on when the storm comes. Hallelujah. It gives us to be able to hold on to our joy in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. It gives us that peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's what we do. We give it to God and ask God to give us more perception of himself. Give us a brighter perspective of him because that's what we need. You see, in the, number three, letting go and let God doesn't mean you give up and stop trying. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you're so overwhelmed, you don't even know what to do. I've had people that have lost a loved one, and for years, they're not even able to operate. They give up. And after the end of the years, however long it be, if they would have given it up, give it to God, asking for more perspective to understand what was going on, the same thing that brought them out when they came out is the same thing that was available when they was in. But God didn't walk away from them. They walked away from God and his perspective and his moral compass. So they was dealing in it with it on their own. They had that grip. And even though it wasn't doing much for them, they felt satisfied because they had the control to not do anything because they just didn't have to do anything. The trick of the devil. You see, it's easy to throw in a towel as a way of letting go. Oh, I let go of all of this and don't do nothing. That's not the way it goes. Letting go and letting God doesn't mean you become inactive. You turn over, you give up, you become complacent. Come on, y'all. You do nothing until your situation changes. There's a young lady, I know her father died, and she grieved. She was she grieved a lot till she wasn't able to go to work. So she had to set out that year. And everybody grieved different. I'm not coming here and tell you you shouldn't grieve. I'm not telling you to not cry, because Jesus cried for his friend Lazarus. The scripture says he wept. But the point I'm saying, God needs us to be in service at all times. So when we check out, that's one less vessel God can use. He can't use you all locked up and separating yourself. But you got to do things. Many times we are still active, but in a different position. Come on, y'all, in a surrendered position. It's all right to surrender. It's very good to surrender. You see, God has this worked out for you. You got to trust him. You got to let go of your emotions and your thoughts. Because that's the only way Satan could play. Satan tried to get you to get his thoughts in your mind, you to accept it as your, get you to accept his perception. Once you truly believe what he's telling you in your mind, it becomes your perception, and then it becomes your reality. And everybody know all reality ain't real. It's only real sometimes to the person that has it. So we have to be careful. Number four, letting go and let God doesn't mean you stop praying. You see, it's easy to feel that once you let go and let God, that's enough. You don't need to do anything. When you let God, you hand it over to him. But I want you to tell you what prayer does. Turn it over and continue to pray, because prayer protects us from trying to take it back. Come on, y'all. You see, you done turned it over, and you need that prayer as a buffer. You need that prayer for strength. You need that prayer in the midst of the storm. And while you have to let some things go, you got to constantly pray about it. You see, prayers keep us connected to God. It opens the doors to request relief when the burden you are carrying trying to return. You see, prayer allows us to walk alongside him through our circumstances. And he will provide us with peace that far outweigh our understanding. You see, Philippians, another scripture we have tonight, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. We got to pray until our change comes. We give it to God and we pray. And we pray because you see, in the praying to God and giving it to God, and if you really understand it and you really got it, you see, in your prayer, you got to be praising. Lord, I know you done did it. Lord, I feel better than I felt before. You got to pray. And the last one is 5. Letting go and let God does not mean you will know every detail. The other night, God spoke to me and told me, you know, for some situations that I had in my life, he said, let it go. And he didn't stay with me 15 minutes, keep talking and telling me the details. But he's working it out step by step. And however he works it out is well worked out. He ain't always give you the details. You see, God may give us direction, but he doesn't always reveal the details. When we let go and let God in our situation, it could mean that we don't know what's next. You was already messed up before he told you to let go. Now you didn't let go and you got a little relief. And now you want to know everything step by step and all the details. Hold on. Wait a minute. What we don't know, that we don't know the details of what's to come. But in our obedience, it's our job to take the next step of direction. Keep doing what we know God wants us to do. Just keep moving. That's why Paul say, I press. That's why they say the race is not given to the swift, but those who do endure to the end. We have to keep moving in the midst of our trials and tribulations. We have to keep moving. See, God needs you moving in the directions that he's trying to send you to. But if you sit down and take a seat and lay down and put the cover over your head and you're not moving, he can't get you to from point A to point B. Just keep moving and let him direct your path and you're moving while you're waiting. Come on, y'all, for the brand new outcome. You see, in Matthew 14:22-23, Jesus walked on water. Peter and the disciples were afraid as they saw him approaching. So Peter asked if it was indeed Christ, and it was. So he instructed him to come on the water. So Peter said, God, Christ, if that's you, let me come to you on the water. So Jesus gave a simple command, telling Peter, come on, walk on the water. You know, Peter didn't know how he would be able to walk on water or give all the reason why it might not be a good idea. He never knew nobody else but Jesus to walk on water, and he knew he wasn't Jesus. He didn't ask for details. God, I'm a come, but supposing I sink, I don't have a life jacket. Lord, I didn't ever learn to swim. I'm afraid of water. He didn't ask for details. He just followed direction of God. And that's how we have to be, y'all. You know, I could give you some other people in the Bible that didn't have all of the details. When God told Abraham to leave his family and everything he knew, and he didn't even tell him where he was going. He said, just go. And as you go, I'll let you know. See, that's what I'm saying. When we get directions from God without the details, we just go. God had him on a journey to get him where he wanted to get him, to the promised land. If we look at Moses, God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, Moses didn't think he was suited for the job, you know, and he made excuse after excuse. But when he decided to let go and let God, he didn't know everything or how he was going to work it out or how the people was going to react to him, but he went. And every step of the way, God was right there with him. And if you look at Noah, God told Noah to build an ark because it was going to flood. And the world that he knew, everything would drown and be destroyed. Now, Noah said, you want me to build an ark because of the flood? And yet they had never saw rain. But Noah began to build the ark. He didn't know too much about rain. He knew about storms, but he didn't know too much about it. And he didn't know when the rain would come because God didn't give him the details. But he began to do what God asked him to do. And it did rain. And God did save him and his family. We just got to move sometime when God tells us to move, y'all. Don't stick around for a 3-page dissertation from God for you to move. Don't wait like some people say, well, I need confirmation from 3 people. Or they come up with all kinds of stuff. When God says, it is all right to ask for confirmation. You know what I'm saying is, don't get me wrong. But sometimes it's not time for that. It's just time to move. Some of the other heroes that took God at his word and just left without knowing every detail. You see, when we let go and let God take control of our current situation, we may not know every twist and turn that will come our way or how circumstances will play out. You don't know. But I tell you right now, be encouraged, my sisters and brothers. And let's not forget what it is said in Jeremiah, our last scripture for the night. Jeremiah 32:17 says, nothing is too hard for God. So no matter what situation you have, it's not too hard for God. It's too hard for man, and evidently it's too hard for you. That's why you're giving it to God, but nothing's too hard for God. Let go and let God take control with or without the details, as he will direct your path. Trust him. And trusting God means knowing that God knows best. And I'm going to just leave you with this here for tonight. Letting go and let God means you don't have to try to be in control or meet the needs asked of you from others in your own strength. See, some of the things we have to let go and let God is people, places, or things. Come on now, y'all. People, places, or things are 3 of the things we sometimes have to let go and let God. We must learn, even while trying to please God, letting go and let God teaches us how sometimes it may be necessary for us to stay in our lane. I want you to know tonight that everything that is needed to be done does not have to be done by you. We can position ourselves by surrendering to God and his faithfulness and trusting him. Yes, it's hard to do. The Lord enable us to do it if it's a desire of our heart and we have come to the perspective that we have to let some things go. No, we have to let all things go and let God. It's important we don't give up and what we are called to do. See, that's when I don't want to get it mixed up. There are things that God is calling you to do, and you shouldn't turn away from them. But I'm talking about them things that stay on your mind, and it I'll put it like this. The things that is shaking in your spirit. The things that are causing you discomfort. Everything that has to be done doesn't have to be by you. Sometimes we take too much in our hands. It's important we don't give up in what we are called to do. Instead, we can trust our leader to fight the battles for us. Follow his directions. And he promises he will work it out for your good. And let's not forget that he is forever faithful to fulfill his promises. And if God said it, you can believe it. You can trust it. You can rely on it. And you can rest in it. God is able, y'all. God is able. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Anybody have anything they would like to say? You could press your one button, and I'll open your mic. You might want to say something, you know, talk about so the other people on the line can understand that you may have had something that you had to let go and let God, and how God turned it around, and everything is going to be all right. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Well, if there's nothing else to be said, Sister Pam, I open your mic and you could give us a benediction.
The benediction tonight will be coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And good night, y'all.
Good night, my sister. Anyone have anything they would like to say? I could open your mic. If not, that's our lesson for tonight. I thank God for the opportunity, and I thank God for each and every one of you who had called in. And it is my prayer, if there's anything that any one of you need to let go and let God, God will guide your way. And with that being said, I pray that everybody go in peace. Have a beautiful week that's before us. And if it's your will, if it's God's will and your desire, a caller called in. Caller, your number is 504-900. Your mic is open.
I just want to say I thoroughly enjoyed the lesson. In such a time as this, it is so important that we know to let go and let God have his way. Thank you, woman of God, for delivering that message on tonight.
Thank you, Minister Paula. And she made me remember some of the things as I was preparing, was saying how the world is so evil and so crooked and so perverse, and how our leaders is going crazy and our youngsters is doing these things. And we pray for all of that. Some people are so depressed from listening at the news. Some people even commit field suicide. So in the prayer of serenity, it says, God, give me the serenity to accept that I cannot change. Change the things that I can, and courage to know the difference. See, that's a part of, that could be like letting go and let God, you know. But when you read the prayer of serenity, there's another part that is listed with that, caught in the way you look it up. It say, please teach me how to accept things the way they are, as Jesus did, and not the way they ought to be. See, some people can't get over the fact, well, this is the way it should be, but it's not the way it is now. That's so wrong. Yes, it is wrong. What you going to do? You can't change it. So part of letting go and let God, and as Minister Paula reminded me of the issues of life, is, you know, we got to look at it and take it with a grain of salt. But just like I gave in the 5 points, one of the things we could do is pray. And we could pray for the situation, and that's what we do. And we let God have his way. So that's it for tonight. And we'll be back again on next Wednesday. I'm looking forward to seeing you then. But until then, go in peace and be blessed. Good night.